table, 15 children and just one daddy. Now the daddies don't want children, or at most just one or two. I remember how they used the old church house for a school. Now the schools won't let a Bible pass inside their chilly doors. How the world has changed in only one generation. They say it's for the better, but they know salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. I remember when the babies were delivered by the doctors. Now the doctors all are surgeons, making doors where doors don't go. I remember when the children were instructed by their parents. Now the TV is the parents, teaching violence and crime. Salvation is slipping through their fingers. As they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. How the world has changed in only one generation. They say it's for the better, but they know it's growing. Slipping through their fingers as they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told. Yes, as they turn their backs and close their ears to what the prophets all have told.
Welcome to the program. Glad to have you tuning in today. This is Pastor John Kyle, and we are praising God and thankful people because we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we've asked him to come and make his home in us. Amen. And I trust that you've done that same thing, and you are resting in him and rejoicing in him today. Even though things don't always go that well, sometimes we get attacked by the enemy, but it doesn't ever need to stop your rejoicing because the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So don't let the devil take away your rejoicing, because if you do, if you let him do it, then hey, trouble for sure. Okay, yeah, welcome to the chat room there. Praise God. All right. Yeah. Usually see you somewhere else and you're here now. Okay. Well, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving and the Lord ministered to you and encouraged you and you found something to be thankful for. And I know there's a whole lot of people that are in turmoil and stress and anxiety and very troubled. But you know what? The Bible tells us we have a great hope ahead, and we need to look up when we see these things taking place, for our redemption draws nigh. So, hey, we do have something to be thankful for. In spite of all that's going on in the wicked world, in spite of all that people are doing that is evil and separating them from God and life and even the things that Christians are doing that, you know, that Some of them are dying already from what they've done, and it's a sad thing to watch this take place when everybody should have done their homework, should have been in the Word, should have been sensitive to Jesus and to the things the Lord has been telling them for years. Somehow, some have just not listened and prepared themselves for the times that we're living in right now. And who's really prepared? Well, only those that are in the Lord, really, and that are close to Him. And so that's the only way we can make it through these times, to be prepared in the Lord and full of Him. All right, we'll have a little bit of news here this evening. Not a lot, but a little bit will do. And then we'll get into the Word for today. Leaked House and Human Services memo reveals that Biden seeks to strip Americans of religious protections. That's right. And he wants to also make changes to the First Amendment. Obviously, he hates God and the American people. So we pray that the madman will be removed out of office in Jesus' name. We pray to the Lord God Almighty, Father God, in Jesus' name. Pray that you get godly leadership in this country, righteous leadership in this country, that will do your bidding, Father, in Jesus' name. There's a shocking FBI raid this week on Gold Star Mom and other Colorado women who were simply advocating school board changes and election integrity in Grand Junction, Colorado. They raided this one particular lady's home at 6 a.m. in the morning. Sharona Bishop, a Mesa County clerk, and they manhandled her teenage daughter, she claims, and she is 66 years old, and they also went to other older women's homes, too. But a 66-year-old who has a teenage daughter, that's amazing. So, but that is still happening, so that means she would have been somewhere around 48 to 50-something when she got the had the child, or maybe she adopted the child. I don't know all the details in that, but it's sad that just because of standing up and saying some things that she got raided like that. Yeah, new book by President Trump skyrocketed to 1 million in sales in the first 24 hours. And yet you don't hear about it from the liberal media. And the New York Times refuses to include it on their bestseller list as well. So that shows, again, prejudice in the media, and they're only going to talk about what they want to and what they're told to, but not what real news is happening for the most part. So Austria, of course, you probably heard it is the first Western country to make COVID vaccine mandatory for all citizens of its country. It announced it requires all citizens to be jabbed by February. And in the meantime, the country is on full lockdown and unvaxxed people cannot leave their home. Wow, that's pretty sad, isn't it? Huh. Wow. Yeah, 59% of Americans say having political conversations with people of opposing views is stressful and frustrating. That's one survey. Another survey, Americans think bad things about bad things just happen. They're not blaming God, the majority. Yeah, God is not responsible for the bad things that are happening. Hey, but I know who's responsible for them. The devil is. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet there is a percentage that also believes that, that Satan is responsible for most of the suffering in the world. So good for those Christians that they get it. They understand something of this matter. And we understand what's going on here. We don't have to understand every little in and out of it, but we do understand basically the devil is the thief, the robber, and the thief is trying to kill everybody, steal, kill, and destroy, and cause little things and big things to happen to you if he can get away with it. But you resist the devil and he will flee. That we've been given the authority. We need to use it over this thief. District of Criminal has recorded its 200th homicide this year so far. And that's a number not seen since 2003. You wonder why that might be the case? Yeah. Who's there in District of Criminals anyway? And dozens of San Francisco area stores and pharmacies have been hit by mobs of smash and grab looters. Yeah, they just smash and grab, right? They get in there and take it and go. And they smash into the place and then they grab what they want and get out of there quick before the cops have a chance to respond. Sad, huh? That's that our society has no respect for other people's property in certain areas, and certain people have that attitude. A tourist bus carrying New Macedonian tourists crashed into flames in Bulgaria on the 22nd, killing at least 45 people, including 12 children. My, my, my. That's a wicked thing to take place, that somehow the enemy did that. It's sad to see all these people perishing. I hope that they were born again. But I tell you, people need Jesus like never before, people, and are in a desperate situation today. And people are freaking out and self-medicating themselves with all manner of intoxicants. And it's a sad condition that the people find themselves in. I mean, this whole world lies in wickedness, and the wickedness is taking place right under our noses right now. And we're watching destruction of humanity. Who's that one priest that's a different one than what I told you about before, but it's saying that 2 billion people are going to die in a matter of short period of time from, I don't know where he's getting his information. I didn't read all of his article, but that's an interesting take on things. But whether he's saying it's from the vaccines, which already people are dying more and more from them, and starting to see more and more results from those jabs on people's health and their lives, and a lot of heart problems and circulation problems. And oh, it's tragic, you know, to see all this going on. But we know that we're living in the last days. The Bible tells us these things are going to take place, but we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we need to not partake of this world and the things that this world is trying to force upon this world, which is preceding their global government. It's all a prep for that, and the Antichrist system of darkness that Satan is going to try to rush in as quickly as he possibly can get away with it. So thank you, Jesus, that we have the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence in our lives, for the Holy Spirit, so we can stand, having done all, stand boldly, unashamed, and without the fear of torment. For God did give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and a sound mind. So let's be bold. Let's not be ashamed. Let's also be wise. You don't throw your pearl before the swine that's running around sometimes out there. They will turn around and trample them. There are other times that we do share our pearl and be bold sharing our pearl. Be led by the Holy Spirit, and not by too much pizza or too much of something, and hear the voice of demons masquerading as the voice of God. We think it's telling us something. We got to be wise to listen and discern, because the enemy's talking to Christians too and masquerading as God, trying to fool Christians into believing he's the one talking. I mean, God's the one talking, when it's really the devil and his demons and fallen angels talking. So let's be wise about listening and test the spirit. Make sure that if we say it's God, that it really is God. And pray on it a while if necessary. You know, don't just jump into it because you think God spoke something to you. Well, you know, I want to test the spirit myself. I want to pray plenty about something and make sure I'm hearing God. Otherwise, you know, I'm not quick to move on something unless I really believe it is the Lord. Then, you know, I move normally pretty quickly. But so I want to always make sure, and I hope that you will too, test things. And then God will show you, you know, he'll make things clear to you if you really seek him on it. I believe that. All right, well, we're going to open up in prayer this evening, and that's all the news I want to share tonight. There's a whole bunch of other things going on, you know, that are amazing, that are happening in this world right now. But I'm not going to share it because we have the important things. You can go to plenty of other places to get that. But I'm going to give you the Word of God. And, of course, you get the Word of God other places too. But you won't get with the understanding of deliverance and that every person has demons. You won't get that every place. There's not tons and tons of deliverance, true deliverance ministers and ministries out there. So this puts a whole different view on things when you deal with it through the Word of God, through deliverance and spiritual warfare, and understanding that everybody has demons. It puts a different view on everything. But anyway, let's pray, and we're going to get into this. If you're ready, I'm ready. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the listeners tonight. Lord, I thank you for each and every precious one who takes the time to listen to this program. Father, and ask your blessing on each of them. Thank you for ministering to them and giving them a heart to worship you, Lord, and to the hunger to be in your presence, Father, and a hunger for your word, Lord. And we thank you for them and ask you to minister to them and protect them from the evil one and all his wicked devices that he's trying to put on people right now, and his masquerading that he's good, really. What a lie. What a deception. We know the devil's not good. And he's evil. To the very core, the Lord exposed the enemy, Father, and we pray for godly government. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, they mourn. So, Lord, we're mourning for and crying out to you that the righteous would rule again in this country, Father, that you would bring righteous leadership in this country, and the plans of the wicked one will be thwarted, Father, in Jesus' name. And we rebuke the enemy and bind and break his power in Jesus' name and say, no, devil, you do not have America. You do not have this country. In Jesus' name. I mean, I know that the majority will always go to hell. But, Lord, we thank you that there will be an awakening to you and your word and the things of God. And there'll be a hunger to see things change in this country. And Lord, that even the unrighteous will cry out about this wicked ruler and the wickedness of many on that team of evil and what they're trying to do to destroy this country. And they will cry out too for change, Father. And we thank you that things are in your hand, Father. We're in your hand. And we're trusting in you, Father, with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, Father, and we thank you for, Lord, using each of us to share the gospel with somebody, Father. There's somebody that every one of us could share with, people we run into, people we cross paths with, even at the stores. Lord, if there would be somebody, Lord, if you'd set up these divine appointments, Father, that would be fruitful. That's right, Lord. We pray for fruitful appointment, divine appointment, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we see good fruit from them and good results, and people would respond, Lord, to the good news, Father. It is good news. It's the news of salvation. It's the news of you, Lord. It's the news that your blood is powerful and it'll cleanse us from all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. We thank you for that. We give you glory. We thank you for healing and health in these physical bodies, Father. And right now, if you're sick of your body, we apply the blood of Jesus. Put your hand on it. We apply the blood of Jesus. The life is in the blood. So the blood is life-giving. So we apply life-giving blood to that situation, Father, in your body, in Jesus' name. And we thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper in Jesus' name. If you'll believe these things, you can have every one of them in Jesus' name, because the Bible promises them to us if we would believe. And so, Lord, we're standing here declaring healing and health for everybody, Lord, that is listening. Everybody. Everybody's body in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that you are the healer and you haven't changed and you're not going to change. You said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. So thank you for that. And thank you for blessing the program tonight. Thank you for the anointing from heaven to bring forth your word, Father. Thank you for the anointing to touch people's lives, Father, that anointing will go out wherever they're at and minister life to them, Father. And thank you, Lord, for spiritual awakening, spiritual impact, spiritual changes taking place, and spiritual deliverances done tonight as well for your glory. And surround us with a hedge of protection tonight. Thank you that all of us would abide in the secret place of the Most High, with the angel of the Lord camping round about us and camped about us and keeping us from all evil. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, that you are a faithful God, and you know, and you're going to be here with us to the very end. You promised, Lord, and we believe it. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Say thank you, Jesus, and we are going to get into this now, if you're ready. I'm ready, and Preoccupations and Substitutions is the title tonight. Preoccupations and Substitutions. They are tools of Satan, and he and his evil host of hell can keep people really wasting a whole lot of time with worthless deceptions and time wasters. I mean, if all of us would just add up the time that we have wasted in our lives and that we've been deceived into wasting by the enemy, I think we'd see a whole lot of time, all of us would, that has been wasted with preoccupations and substitutions and just wasting stuff. I mean, wasting the time that God gave us and trivial matters. And some will even waste their whole lifetime following the enemy's tricks. I'm talking Christians, too. And yet people are in desperate conditions right now. Like I was saying a minute ago, now more than ever, forced lockdown, mandates of destruction to kill them. Someone else told me their loved one, again, I mean, I hear every week from somebody how that one of their relatives or loved ones or someone I know, oh, man, the loved one took the jab and has congestive heart failure. I prayed for them yesterday and still praying and standing for them, for their loved one. And they're fighting for their life. Their loved one is, my. And I heard of this. I mean, I hear of this every week. Yet people keep giving in to pressure. Really? What about, are people going to give up Jesus too under pressure? Another one, oh, because it's what you're supposed to do and what the wicked are telling you to do? Because if you don't, you know, you won't be able to eat, or you won't be able to feed your children, if you don't do whatever it is they're telling you, if you don't renounce Christ, or, and it won't be an out-and-out renounce at first, but it'll get more and more that way, and it'll be subtle, and it'll get less subtle as people get more dumbed down to it and receive it. Yeah. Another one told me of one who took the jab to get a job and now has health issues but refuses to admit their health issues was the back that caused their health issues. I mean, why are people so blind? Why? When it's been proven, it's the jab that is making people sick physically and have problems in their body. But, you know, it's sad. See how sad it is? So many people, Christians and non-Christians, are deceived and sucked into something out of pressure. And now it's true also that some reject you and have nothing to do with you if you haven't had the jab. And if they find out you're non-jab, oh my, they'll reject you in a heartbeat. But your people are troubled and fearful today. And they're afraid they're going to get, you know, they're afraid they're going to get sick or die. You know, because really, what is this that fear of death has over us? Anyway, what is it? God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So what's this about fearing death? You know, when we die, it's a graduation. Now, sure, I'm not trying to die, you know, but I also know that when I do die, I'm going to be present with the Lord. So to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And Paul said, I'd rather go and be with the Lord, but for your sake, I'm going to remain. So, you know, he knew it's real. I know it's real. Do you know it's real? I mean, this is not a make-believe place, heaven. God has not made believe it's just something for you to believe down here through life. I mean, if that's all it is to you, you're missing out. It needs to be life to you, real to you. See? Because, like never before, you need to know it's real. Right? Oh, how we need Jesus to open people's eyes, how we need the Holy Spirit to get a hold of people and wake them up. Amen. Father, we pray for that in Jesus' name. But, you know, people are still so preoccupied and embracing substitutes. That's what they're doing. I mean, is there not a global stupor over so many people right now that just they're in a state of stupor? Yeah, S-T-U-P-O-R, stupor. So many people. And will it continue to get worse? Or will people start to awaken out of their stupor? Lord, I pray for an awakening in Jesus' name, and I pray for that often. Will people get hungry for truth? For Jesus? Or are they going to fall deeper into Satan's trap and traps? Well, I thank God for the awakening, and I pray more will embrace the truth in Jesus' name. Will these corporate giants be allowed by the masses to continue to murder people? Or will people say no? You know, we need to pray against these things and find Satan's devices of darkness and death, because that's what's happening. He's using these people to do his bidding, and they're blind. Not all of them. Some of them know what they're doing, okay? They're not all blind. And many of them think they're doing it for the good of mankind, you know? They think they're doing it for the good. And they're really, they're doing it for the evil. But that's what's going to happen in these days, right? They're going to call good evil and evil good. And they're blind to the real reality of it, what it really is. Huh? How many of you today listening are satisfied that you've reached as much intimacy with God as you desire? You know, we need to get close to God, folks. Are you satisfied with your level of intimacy with God? You know, let's talk about our relationship with him. You know, how many of you think that it is possible to be more intimate and close with the Lord than you are right now? You believe that? Listen, I know, because I have gone through levels of closeness through my Christian life, and I'm still getting closer. And you could still get closer. Okay? And one of the results coming from the present day COVID fear pandemic here is, for some Christians, is a closeness to God. They're getting closer. People are feeling drained and empty and troubled, and they are crying out to God, saying, Lord, if there's more of you, I want it. And they're getting filled with God when they really seek him. And yet some are turning totally to natural help. But listen, you know, The Lord said, I'm a very present help in the time of trouble. So why would people turn, Christians, turn to the natural help when they can turn to the supernatural help, the one that really works? Yeah. And it won't kill you. Oh. So many believers today have come to the point of quitting. They seem to have no joy in them. They're tired. They're weary. They're distressed. They're fearful. The Christian life has become a chore to them. They won't learn anything anymore, and they think they've seen it all. I guarantee you haven't seen it all yet in God. There's more. God is God unlimited, not God limited. There's no limitation to how much you could get of God if you seek him with all your heart. Yeah. Well, what's up? What's happening? Yeah, what's up? What's happening? We're either going to quit walking in or never have. Or, you know, never have that intimacy with God. You know, and intimacy with God includes joy. Let's look at a scripture here. We'll start some scripture. First Peter 1. Some have quit walking in the intimacy, or else they just never had it. See, 1 Peter 1:8. And they need to get it. And you get hungry. If you're not hungry, you're not going to have anything from him, because you have to desire God and the things of God if you're going to walk in them. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Hallelujah. In fact, the joy it includes is joy unspeakable. I mean, you can't put it into words. If you haven't had that kind of joy yet, you've got to get more. It's more available. You've got to go deeper. I mean, we are full of his glory. Joy unspeakable, and we are full of his glory. So if there's no intimacy, there's going to be little joy. We need to know that. Let's go to Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2, it says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy he endured, for the joy that was set before him. And most Christians today have little endurance. Yeah, a little trial comes along. And we cry, oh, I can't take it. I can't take it, Lord. You know, I remember, you know, we pastored in the area where they had tornadoes. We pastored in Nebraska for a while, you know, and man, threat of tornado, fear takes over. Yeah, they don't trust him and rebuke it. You know? Their fear is bigger than their God and his powers and promises. I remember this one couple, a Christian couple, but boy, you know, I saw what was in them. You know, it sure came out when the tornado came their way, you know, or there was a threat of a tornado. They were freaking out and doing everything, you know, naturally, and didn't even thinking of God. They didn't call on God. They didn't use the authority or anything. What's wrong with that picture? I've seen in that area there was a fear of tornado. And now there's a fear of the pandemic, the COVID. And it's just, the devil knows how to get you through preoccupations and substitutions. I mean, it's happening. Yeah. Well, joy will cause you to have endurance. Little endurance, I say, you got little joy. See, nothing can cause a person to endure like joy can. I mean, many believers feel God only speaks to them when they blow it or when it's real, something real important matter. Like, you're in big trouble now, but I want you to do this hard thing. That's about the only time they think God will speak to them. But is that true of real lovers? True lovers communicate simply because they want to know and be known by each other. You think God wants you to know him? I guarantee he wants you to know him. And many times the Lord will communicate with us for simply the very reason that he loves us. And he has great joy in having us as his children because of the blood of Christ. Yeah, he sees us through the blood. Remember that. So he's not looking at your blemishes. He's looking, you're looking at them, but he's not. He's looking at the blood of Jesus, and therefore he has fellowship with you and communion with you, and you can be close to him. 1 Corinthians 1:9, it tells, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, we can't have fellowship without communication. You're not going to be able to have fellowship without communication of an intimate nature. There's going to have to be some closeness there. And communication for the sake of fellowship is very different from communication for the sake of control or for the sake of working somewhere at a job. There's communication, but it's not intimacy. And see, so many Christians legalistically approach their relationship with God. That's sad. Because God just wants to control me and scold me. You know, that's the way people look at a God. That's not correct. No, he wants to know you, be close with you. And he does know you, but he wants you to know him. He wants you to let him love you too. A lot of Christians won't let him love you. That's right. They won't let him love them. Why is that? Because of the walls, the preoccupations, the substitutions, the religious spirits. I mean, the enemy will substitute and preoccupy you to keep you from that closeness that you could have. Yeah. See, much of the communication that the Lord wants to have with us is simply for the purpose of drawing us closer to him. He wants to bring us in, bring us into his presence, bring us into his glory, bring us into more of his power and presence. And the closer you are to someone, the more you will hear them when they speak. See, if you're not too close, you're going to be mistaken and hear things inaccurately because you'll think it was God when it was the devil fooling you. And I'll say this, you know, God's communication and intimacy doesn't come with flashes of lightning from the sky or in King James English. Some people, they say, thus saith the Lord, you shall suffer exceedingly for the sins of your life, and thou shalt succumb to the voice of my Holy Spirit, or else thou shalt be swallowed up by the earth, you wicked person, you. You know, God is not talking to you like that, okay? You have an inaccurate view if you're hearing God like that. And there are a lot of people, that's the way they hear God. Oh, it's judgment time on you, and you are going to be taken, and I'm going to turn you over to Satan for your destruction. All right. Well, wait a minute. What about the blood of Jesus? We're under a better covenant than the old covenant. Quit having an old covenant God and seeing God as under the old covenant. We're under a better covenant, the Bible said. Yeah. Have you listened to religious people pray? Oh, God, please help my poor sister Ellen. Oh, God, she just needs a touch from you. Oh, God, you in your great mystery, work your wonders mysteriously to perform for her. Oh, have mercy on this wicked old poor rotten sinner of myself. Really? If you're praying like that, you're a deception. You don't know him. You don't know him. The Bible tells us we come boldly before the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. Listen, you don't come in with the King James English either, and he doesn't speak to you in the King James English. He just talks to you. I mean, religious people are such bondage and have so many demons, and they don't get it that we have relationship with God because of Jesus, which we couldn't have under the old covenant, but we have it under the new covenant. That we can be close to him in a way that they were not under the new old covenant. Yeah. Religious spirits in operation. Somehow, these are lacking in intimacy and joy of relationship. And then, you know, when the prayer's over, they're talking just normal English again, like, no, never talked that way before, you know. But then as soon as they get all in that religion, Lord, I say unto thou, Lord, you will suffer for your sins and be sent into hell if you don't do, you know, blah, 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 whatever, you know. And surely there's a hell. I'm not downplaying hell at all. People are going to hell, and hell enlarges itself. But, you know, in some of these religious folks, you know, everybody but them is going to hell, right? If you don't do it their way, you know, you're going to hell. Remember when there were others casting out demons, and the disciples didn't like it? It said, these people out there casting out demons in your name, and I don't remember the exact word, but he said, hey, if they're not against us, they're for us. Remember? He said, leave them alone. Right? Oh, yeah. Well, there are people outside of people's little religious world that are saved and going to heaven. It's hard to believe for some people, but, you know, but they're still born again, and they still know Jesus, and they are going to be there, and there'll be some surprises and probably in eternity of who's there and who isn't, right? But, yeah, because some people just can't believe that, you know, so-and-so would be saved and because they're not doing things their way, right? They've got those religious spirits, and, you know, they have religious spirits, but they're born again. I mean, know that you have spirits, and you're born again. I have spirits. I'm born again. We all have spirits. You know, whether we have them now or whether we had them and they were cast out, we had spirits. Everybody has demons. Nobody is exempt from the demons. You know, there are plenty of demons to go around. And everybody has their share of them. Some more than their share, but, you know, because they're so cursed and such a dirty bloodline and full of ancestral spirits, they're just loaded. You know, they inherited so many of them through no fault of their own, but still, nevertheless, spirits to the third and fourth generation continue, and they stay in the family line, and they wreak their havoc. And people wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I this way? Well, you know, it just came on down to you. You was born that way. You mean I was born with these spirits? Yeah. If you had homosexuality in your family, you could be born with the homosexual spirit. Yeah, but you're not born a homosexual, but you could be born with those spirits. You can inherit those spirits. You can be born with lustful spirits that were passed down through the family line. When you're physically born into this world, you carried some bloodline ancestral curses, you know, because it's just so much of that, right? I mean, in every family. And anyway, I'm departing from where I was going with this, but still, I tell you, the Lord is not nearly as religious as we tend to be, right? He's not religion-minded, but he is relationship-minded. That's what counts. He wants to be in relationship with you and me, and that's it. But Satan has his substitution, see? A joy. It never comes out of religion, but it always comes out of a relationship, out of relationship. And, you know, he rebuked the religious leaders for the hypocrisy. Remember Jesus when he walked the earth. I mean, listen, look what Jesus did when he was here. You whitewashed sepulchers. He just called them whitewashed graves. And he said, if the blind lead the blind, you're both going to fall into itch. And the blind are leading the blind today in a lot of situations, right? And if you just see the Bible as a rule book, then you know you're going to end up rather frustrated in your walk, because imagine a wife and a husband, and my husband says to the wife, here's the rule book of my expectations and rules of you. Now you follow this, and then he never spoke to her again. But you couldn't blame her for wanting a divorce, right? I mean, you know, where is this guy? But the Lord is not, you know, he's not trapped us in such a lifeless relationship like that. In fact, he is far more eager to communicate with us than we are with him, really. You know, I believe religious people try to do what they think they're supposed to, but, you know, they don't really hear the Spirit of God in most cases because of their religion and legalism. But people that are in relationship do what they want to do because of the love that they have for the Lord and of the direction of the Holy Spirit, and they do it out of intimacy with and love. You know, most of the time when religious people pray, they don't believe they're going to get an answer. They just hope they will. And really, I mean, they pray to be praying because that's the thing to do, right? The religious thing to do. And they don't really believe it. They're going to get it because they don't really have, their faith is not in operation. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got to be filled with the word. You want your faith to operate, and faith has to rise up in them to grab hold of the promises. Yeah. Yeah, well, religious people becomes work. They become works-oriented, while relationship-centered people become spiritually-minded. That's right. And spiritually-oriented. That's right. Let's look at the power of intimacy here. You know, Jesus loved both Mary and Martha, but Martha was into works, and because of that, she was bearing a heavy burden. Right? Martha, Martha, remember Jesus said that. You are cumbered with all these cares, but Mary has chosen the right thing. Remember Jesus told Martha that. But and if you're into work, you know, you will too, but you get cumbered. You'll have a burden, and your burden will get heavier and heavier when you're trying to work it. But you have to cast it on the Lord, not work your burden. Oh, I'm just working under this heavy load, this heavy burden. For Jesus, I'm doing it for God, you know. Right. What does the Bible say? Cast your cares upon me. Cast your burden upon the Lord. I mean, really? You know, we can become busy working for God, so busy working for God and keeping the do's and don'ts and enforcing them on others that we fail to recognize that just sitting at his feet is our highest priority. That's right. That's right. See? Yeah. So let's go over to John 11 and look at this. John 11, we'll look at verse 20 here. Reading, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, you know, Lazarus had died, that's the situation, and Jesus wasn't there, and Martha was upset about it, and she went and met him when she heard Jesus was coming, but Mary sat in the house. She was still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So Martha runs out to meet him, and in her grief reproves Christ, saying, if you'd just been here, and if you'd just come when we let you know that, you know, Lazarus was sick, he wouldn't have died. Well, Jesus' response by, you know, it's an unusual response by giving her a good teaching about him being the resurrection. But you think she got it? Did she get the teaching? You know, maybe, maybe not. But, she, you know, what did he say? He said, Martha, you know, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yeah, Lord, I believe that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, said her sister, saying, the Master has come. Okay? Right. So she just leaves. I don't know that she got it, man. He's telling her he's the resurrection. He's telling her, you know who I am? And she said, yeah, I know you're the Christ, but she just didn't get the revelation. Man, he's going to raise Lazarus. I'm the resurrection, you know. If you're dead, you're going to live. Right? I mean, he's trying to tell her something, but she wasn't getting it. So anyway, here comes Mary out, and she says, what, verse 32, the same thing. He says, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Did Martha fall down at his feet? No. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Yeah. Yeah, well, with the same word, but with a much different result. Look at verse 35. Then Jesus said, behold how, then Jesus wept, right? What is that? He wept. She moved him so that he wept. You know, he was deeply moved, and he wept. And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. He said, where you lay him? And they took him there. You know, Mary and people saw him weaken. And because of her intimacy with him, had the ability to move God. She received much more than a good teaching about the resurrection. She got the resurrection. She got a resurrection, right? She got a resurrection of her brother right then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Lazarus, he raised him from the dead. Oh, the power of intimacy. Oh, yeah, he loved the Marthas and the Marys. But, you know, there is a real difference between them. I mean, were they both saved? Yeah, they were both saved, but they were not both intimate. Notice verse 20 here. Verse 20 that Martha just went out to meet him, like I said. And then verse 32, Mary went out and fell down at his feet. Oh, the difference between knowing him as your Savior and then knowing him as your friend, your forgiver, your lover, your Lord, your a close, intimate type relationship that he would like to have with every one of his children, but not every one of his children are willing for that kind of a relationship. So he'll take what he can give, right? He'll take what we give him, the kind of relationship that we're taking. I mean, Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, verse 33, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And then all the Jews that was with Mary, they said, behold how he loved him. He saw her weeping. Why do you think she was weeping? Weeping, some people weep to manipulate God. But no, she wasn't weeping to that. From that type of a position. No, they were intimate. And when you the one you love is weeping, it moves you to weep too. Your heart is tender toward them. I remember, you know, a number of times that I've weeped with people that we've pastored over the years. It wasn't me that was, you know, hurt. It wasn't me that had the loss of a loved one. It wasn't me that was going through what they were going through, but I loved the people that I was pastoring, and I wept with them. I remember, you know, my mother lost her cat, and she was crying, and so I love my mother. I know her. I weep with her for a cat, even though I wasn't especially fond of the cat or anything, but, you know, I love my mother. I knew my mother, and I cared about her, so, and she was weeping and hurting. You know, it's not unmanly to weep, folks. Jesus wept, you know? I mean, really. If you think that, you know, maybe you got some religion still going on in there. If you can't weep and you're a man and you can't weep, you can't. Jesus wept. He was a man. I say he's a man above all men. Right? So do you see the power of intimacy and the great joy and fulfillment that comes to those who pursue it? It'll cause you to want to wash his feet with your hair, like Mary. This is the same Mary that washed Jesus' feet with her hair. Look at 11, verse 2. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. See, that's the Mary that this is. The same one that, you know, was ostracized for spending all that money on that expensive ointment and for, you know, washing his feet with that oil that might have cost her who knows how much, maybe, you know, it's expensive. because Judah didn't like. See, this is the same Mary that did that. See, Mary had humbled herself to become intimate. Martha had not. She's still holding on to my house, my dishes, my stuff I have to do, I have to take care of and perform and do good to please. Yeah. Martha, like looking through a window at something beautiful and reaching for it and not being able to get it. And what's the window? Well, self-life, pride, religion, a predetermination of the ways of God, thinking you know the ways of God. Really? We're working for God, striving to please him, trying to do what's right. Yeah, we're holding something back. See? We're afraid to give up everything to God and become totally dependent on him, but that's true humility. Total dependence on God is humility, right? And to even wash his feet with our hair and be willing to look like a fool in the process, the death of self, right? Loving him at any cost, right? To give everything we own to him and our finances, our family, our children. Yeah, that perfume she used cost a fortune. Could it cost her all she had? I don't know, but listen, she loved him. He forgave her. He loved her. He loved you. He's forgiven you. Oh, my. Don't you want to be closer to him? Yeah. Yeah. But, hey, the enemy's got these substitutions to keep you occupied, keep you from getting on in there. See, he'll keep you preoccupied with all these different substitutions. He'll keep you preoccupied with all these preoccupations of life to get you so busy that you don't take time. How many times have you skipped Bible study, skip reading your Bible, skip spending time getting closer to him? How many times have you done that for something you had to get done? You know, I got to do this. Got to get this done. I got to go call so-and-so. Got to do this. Got to feed the dog. There's always something. Preoccupations and substitutions to keep you from going where you need to go with Jesus. Hey, like never before, man, we need to get close to him. If you haven't done it, it's time to press in to his presence and be filled with him and to know him. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Filled, that word in the Greek is pleru. Pleru, that means they were crammed. They were the peace that is filled up, it means. They were the peace that was filled up. What? Are you the peace that's filled up? You know, God is bringing joy to his body, the joy of relationship. You can have that under the new covenant. You can have that. Oh, yeah. Martha is attempting. And she's attacking Mary today, right? I mean, it's sitting at the feet of Jesus and looking up with into his eyes of love. I mean, can you imagine looking into the eyes of love that Mary looked into those eyes and sat at his feet? And Martha wouldn't do that? It's amazing, isn't it? What is it that Jesus could be in your house and you not even want to look up at his eyes, and instead you just want to go do things for him? You know, I'm going to go do this. I'll get you fed. I'll keep you comfortable, Pete, you know. But, you know, wait, that can happen too. But he told her, Martha, you're cumbered about many things, but Mary has chosen the right thing. See? Mary chose the right thing. That ought to tell us something. Who's ready to wash his feet today? Who's willing to enter into that closeness of relationship, that joy? I mean, do you love him? Well, quit striving and rest in him. Quit worrying and trusting him. If he really is the God that he says he is, then what are you so all upset about here? Oh, but everything happened in the world. Well, everything's been happening in the world since Satan, tempted Adam and Eve, and they gave in. It's all been happening in the world. Wickedness. Is that going to stop God from being God? Did it stop him all through the ages? I mean, look at Daniel in the lion's den. You think he can't do that again for you? Look at David and Goliath. I mean, look at all. God showed up. And he's going to show up right now, too. It's not any different. He hasn't changed. We have a better covenant. That's better, and that's good, and that's awesome. But our God is still our God, and he's still going to be there for his people. Let me speak of your true strength here. You ever see people whom are Christians all down, face haggard, miserable, and looking and just miserable looking and acting, and you don't know, wow, really, they're Christian? Maybe you've been that way, griping and gossiping and grumbling all the time. Look like they've been dipped in some sour pickle juice or something. Maybe you've been that way. You know, I don't know. But what's wrong here? Well, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. You want to know? You want to know what's wrong? You really want to know? Well, all right. I'll tell you next week. No, no, I'll tell you now. You want to know? I'll tell you. They lost something. Or they never let it rise up in them and be strong in them. They let it slip from them. Their strength is gone, and they've become an old sourpuss. Something here has happened and taken place. And it's sad to see that many Christians have come into that condition. But look what it says in Hebrews 2. It said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Listen, some people just let a whole lot of things slip by. They let them slip. They let them go leak out of them, so to speak. You know? Their strength is gone. They've become in a bad condition. And all of us who've been Christian a while, you don't think that to convert somebody, we got to teach them to be just like us and believe just like us and do everything just right. Well, we just got to convince them. But without this something, many Christians have put on the back shelf today and covered up with the cares of life. That's right. That the COVID care and all this stuff, the substitutions of the enemy, we'll probably run more off than we'll win to Christ without this. Well, what is it you're talking about, Pastor? Well, okay, I'm going to tell you. You say, oh, yeah, I know that. Well, are you walking in it? Look at Nehemiah 8:10. Yeah, it's simple, but it's also profound. It's also life-changing. It's also your very strength. Nehemiah 8:10, let's read it. He then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them to whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord being a strength. See, there should be that joy when you witness to someone. See, our doctrine is not our only strength, but our joy is our strength. See, in the Hebrew, this verse does not mean that the joy of the Lord strengthens us, although, you know, it certainly does, but that the joy of the Lord is our strongest offense. It is the nuclear weapon of our arsenal. It is the biggest missile we can fire. You know, the devil's after your joy. Haven't you noticed that? He doesn't want you walking in the joy of the Lord. He doesn't walk in you. Once you walk in that strongest offense against him, that's why he tried to steal everybody. You know, steal that weapon. The joy is a weapon against him. And so, in the church, granted, our doctrine is a strength. But out in the world, you know, and against the enemy, our greatest strength is the offensive, on the offensive side, is the joy of the Lord. I mean, we need to eat the fat, drink the sweet, and then send portions to those who have nothing. See, the world notices you when you come calling in the sweet with the sweet all over you, right? With God all over you, the Holy Spirit, the grace of God oozing out of you, you've got the sweet. You know, Smith Wigglesworth just walked by a person one time and they said, sir, you convict me of sin. Ooh, you know, they had the sweep, right? And they were going to send a portion unto them for who didn't have anything, right? Yeah. So where'd you get that sweep from? Give me a portion of that. That looks good. I want some of that. The world, you know, how many times have you heard a testimony where somebody said, I want what you have, you know, and they told that person that, you know, they've been watching for a while and they said, I want what you have. I want what you have. Well, that's because we got it, man. We got joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. See? Oh, yeah. Give me a portion of that. That looks so good. See, the world can't give this joy because it doesn't have it. Right? And when you come around with joy, something happens. Yeah. Also, this joy is not based on whether all is going good for you or not, you know. A lot of people think, well, it's got to be going good and I can't be joyful. Well, it's not just being joyful. It's the joy of the Lord. That's something different. Then you just like what a human being thinks, well, I have a joyful feeling. You know, no, it's not a feeling. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your power. It's the glory. It's something beyond the natural. Something not something you could come up with, something you could create. Well, I'm just having a joyful feeling today. No, that's not what it is. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must not just worship God because we feel good, okay? Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, praise God. 1 Thessalonians. We are blessed. We are thankful. And we are not going to be distracted and preoccupied by the devil's wares in Jesus' name. 5:16 of 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice evermore. Verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Evermore and in all things. Not for all things necessarily, but in all things. See? And this joy works, you know, when they come to repossess or your car or when we don't think we're going to make it or when, you know, all manner of evil has been released against us. This joy needs to rise up at the enemy's face. The strength of God. See? Remember, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, oh, the joy and peace you have. But see, that's not a joy that you worked up. It's not a peace that you worked up. It came from the heavenly realm, see? And see, if we're going to defeat the realms of darkness, we're going to have something from the heavenly realms manifesting in our lives. Right? Why did that feeling seem to settle down and leave? Stop loving God, did you? No. Well, what was that happy, happy, almost drunk attitude? Remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter had to tell him, stand up and say, hey, we're not drunk. We're not drunk with wine like you suppose. See, some are going to suppose and accuse wrongly, always. That's right. Till Jesus comes, that's going to happen. Some are going to think that they're going to falsely, you know, say things. And they're going to falsely judge you and say things that are just inaccurate. They thought, well, these are drunk with wine, you know. And then Peter said, we're not drunk with wine. This is that which, you know, the prophet Joel spoke about, the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord. I mean, yeah, this is the power of God. Ephesians 5:18 says here, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, we need to be filled up. We need to be filled up with the Holy Spirit if we're going to make it. You know, this is, yeah, it may be compared with drunkenness, but it's not that kind of drunkenness. That's not what people, you know, would think of. We need to stay so filled up with the Spirit of God. Now, in the natural, when something is used up, it's gone, but not with God. Not with God. And the way to keep our joy filled and to stay filled up is to give it away, right? The perpetuation of joy is in giving it away. Some Christians haven't given in so long, you know, they look like an old prune. I mean, it's time to get filled up with the Holy Spirit again. See, hey, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit 15 years ago. Well, yeah, but the Bible just says to be filled, ongoing, keep being filled. Don't let it go stagnant in there. Pray in tongues every day. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. How many of you that are baptized in the Holy Spirit have prayed in tongues today? Oh, I haven't prayed in tongues for 6 months. Well, yeah, since I received it. Wait a minute. The Bible says be filled. One of the ways of filling is you get edified when you're praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You edify yourself. That's what the Bible says. It builds you up spiritually. It builds you up strong in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't get filled with the world. Don't get filled with the substitutions and the preoccupations of Satan and the religious spirits. Don't get filled with that. Get filled with the Spirit. And then go and release it to someone else. How do we get filled with the joy so that we can release it? Well, be in his presence. Right? Psalm 16:11. Be in his presence. Have you been in his presence lately? Have you made it a priority in your life? I know deliverance is important, but have you made his presence a priority in your life? Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. See, in your presence is the fullness of joy. Get in his presence. That joy will be filled up in you. See, get in his presence. Get it. How do you get it? Pray in the Spirit. Get filled with the Spirit. Be in his presence. You see that? I need to read it again. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. See? Get in his presence. See, that's so important. I can't tell you how important that is to be in his presence. Every day, every morning, I start with an hour. Yeah. For years I've done it. That's not nothing new. I've done it for years and years, so many years that I don't remember when I even started it. It's been going on so long. Every morning I start with that. Is that all you do every day? No. I start with that. And I pray throughout the day. Yeah, I pray in the Spirit throughout the day. Oh, and I may study throughout the day and do other things too, but, you know, I'm and work and do different things, but I'm still starting in his presence. I try to stay in the present, and when I, you know, as much as possible, you know, and I want more too. I want to, hey, but you know, Satan and us, we allow it to take place. A lot of us, there's such bondage that we and Satan has put up walls around the joy of the Lord to try to, and the Holy Spirit and the peace and the love in us to try to blockade that, to put up a darkness blockade so that we don't get in that and we don't get filled up. We don't stay in his presence. This is a yoke of bondage. We need to break free of that. We need to resist that, right? We can't let the enemy do that. We got to be stronger in the Lord and the power of his might than that. You know, you're quitting too easily. You say, well, I guess it's that way. But hey, there's more, always more. And if you're not getting more, then you're growing stagnant. You can't just sit still in God. You either got to be moving forward or you're going backwards. See? Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the what? The anointing. His yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And many are in a yoke of bondage, but there is a freedom for you. You need the anointing. Yeah. We need the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. That means every yoke, every demonic yoke, not every legalism yoke, every religious yoke, not just a couple of easy yokes, every yoke, the hard yoke. When that you're yoked to something, you're in bondage to something, right? When you yoke them up, you tie them up, and they gotta do what you tell them to do. See? And a lot of people are doing what that yoke tells them to do in their life, and that yoke is a demonic yoke. And they're yoked up. It's like you yoke the oxen up. They go where you want them to go, do what you want them to do. And a lot of people are yoked up And the anointed of God is in you, in your spirit. It may be lying dormant in there, but it's there. But you need to let that anointed rise up in you and do what it's designed to do. Break that yoke. Break the grip of that yoke in Jesus' name and bring you out of that. But the anointing is there for deliverance. The anointing is there for freedom. The anointing is there to walk in the joy that is your strength. See? Yeah. When that anointing is all over you, you don't want to watch that bad movie. You don't want to go to the bar and get drunk or smoke that weed. You don't want to operate and partake in that sexual sin, operate in lust and that sexual sin. Or you don't want to go around and slander people and go around hurting people and doing wicked things and living in greed. I mean, greed is bondage, folks. And most Christians, however, are doing their own thing, not God. They call on God when they get in a mess or when things are just, if they're just right, going my way. Well, yeah, I love you, Lord. Come and visit me, Jesus. And he comes for a little visit, and that's all you got, a visit. That's all most want, too. Unfortunately, they don't want Jesus to come and make his abode there with. They don't want that. They still got too many demons. They still got too much of their own thing going on. See? Oh, yeah, you could visit, Lord. But the people who really seek God and hunger for him and desire him, Jesus is in the living room. He's in the bathroom. He's in the dining room. He's in the bedroom. He's in the basement. He's even in the closet. Whatever room we go in, Jesus lives there. He ain't just visiting at our convenience like many Christians want. And when we invite him into, hey, all the rooms of our lives, something else there gets very uncomfortable. If there's some other yoke hiding in that little closet, if there's some other bondage in there, it gets very uncomfortable when Jesus starts filling up all the rooms of our life. And it's easy to cast out demons when Jesus is everywhere. See, when you allow him in there, when you allow him in all the areas of your mind, all those dark places, where the enemies are crouching and hiding out with their stronghold, where these demons have made their homes and figured that you're their house, and you let Jesus start coming in there and cleaning out. You let him come in there and visit there and stay there and live there. Something else that's living there is not going to like it, right? Even though he lives in our spirit, when he's fully in us and there's an outgoing of his presence because we are so hungry for him, we want that outgoing of him throughout our whole being, see? Even though he lives in our spirit, doesn't live in our soul, doesn't live in our body, but he will come out there and clean house if we'll let him. Amen. He's a part of us. He walks with us. He talks with us. And he is our love of our life, and we are intimate with him. Well, some people don't know much about intimacy because they've never been intimate, really, with even the mates that they have. Yes, I mean, they have sex, but sex is not intimacy. It can include intimacy, but again, there's an intimacy that some people never attain with other people. And you can only go so far with people, but with God, he's on the inside. I mean, no, if you're married, your mate is not inside your brain. He's not in your spirit or her. She's not in there walking around in your mind, seeing every thought you have. No. But Jesus knows everything, everything. Yeah, he walks with you, talks with you. Yeah. And though these will be the ones, though, who stay filled up with him, and joy will be seen. Amen. Why? Because in his presence is the fullness of joy, the completeness of joy, the fullness of joy. See, joy of the Lord is in his presence because he is the manifestation. He is the source of that joy. See, and so if we're letting him be in our whole being, our whole spirit, and then we let him go out and visit go into the various parts of our spirit, there's many parts there, and our soul, our mind, will, and emotion, he goes in there to clean out, to bring his presence there, the renewing of the mind, see, by the power of him. Hallelujah, you're getting this. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:9. This has a lot to do with deliverance, too. 2 Timothy 2:9. If you're listening, you can see that. wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. That's the part I want you to see. The word of God. You know, the devil might bind you, but you know what? He can't bind the word of God. In fact, the word of God cannot be bound. Did you just see that scripture? Did you just read that with me? Do I need to read it again? The word of God is not bound. The word of God can't be bound. That's why it says in, what is it? Isaiah 55:11. Let's go read it real quick. Like, the word of God can't be bound. So it says here in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It can't because it's not bound. But it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it because it can't be bound. The word of God is not bound. People are bound, therefore the word is hindered, but you know, it doesn't work in their life, in other words, because people are bound and they're in unbelief, they're double-minded, and they got all these demons that are blocking the word. But the word's not bound. The word will do what it's supposed to do if we let it, right? If we get that preoccupation with the devil's stuff out of the way, right? We get that all out of the way, the word's not bound. We get that substitution out of the way, right? The word's not bound. The devil might bind you, but he can't bind the word, right? The word of God can't be bound. So when you put on the word, the devil's going to try to take you captive, and he can't. The shackles will slide off, will come off, and come out, and the enemy can be cast out. See, the thief will be discovered, and he doesn't want to be discovered. See, a thief is just that. He's a thief. He wants to come in as a thief and steal, kill, and destroy. See, the word of God is one thing Satan cannot stand, because there is no bondage in the word. It can't be bound. And see, there's bondage in us, but there's no bondage in the word. And when we release the word of God to work, hey, it's going to work. It can't be bound. And when you take the word after the devil, he's going to run every time. When the devil came to Jesus, he spoke the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. He didn't call up black ink on India paper. He called up spirit and life. He said, my words are spirit and life. Huh? He called up spirit and life. And kaboom, man, he blasted Satan. The word has the ability, when used in faith by a man or woman of God or a child, to stop satanic forces and their plan against us. He said, my words are spirit and their life in John. So he called the power that has no bondage, no corruption in it, the incorruptible word. And when he spoke it three times to the devil, man, that was all the devil could take before he was out of there. He said that the devil left for a season. He was out of there. He couldn't take it anymore. He was gone. See, three times, and that was enough. Oh, man, we need to cover ourselves with the word of God and the blood of God. Amen, and cast out those spirits. Amen, cast out those unbelief devils with all their chains. They'll come out and off of us. Yeah, we're the anointed with fresh oil. That's right. We need to stay anointed with fresh oil and not let that anointing flip away. Don't let it go. Don't let go of it. Don't let your hands take up, your spiritual hands be taken off of it. It's yours. Keep it. Keep what you got. Don't let the devil steal what you've been given. See? The living true word of God of life and love. Amen. The living true word of God. The living true word of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, that's where, what we live by. That's what we live by. Look out, devil. Look out, devil. And whatever comes out of his mouth is living and alive. If it comes out of the mouth of the Lord, this word that we have here in the Bible, if we receive it as out of the mouth of God in faith, it will operate. It will bring forth the anointing. It will bring forth changes. It will bring forth all kinds of things. Whatever it says, it will do. It has the power within it. Whatever is written to us under the new covenant has the power to be brought to pass. Pass within that word. It's there for those who will activate it with faith. Those who will believe it, those who will say it, and they will declare it over their lives, there's an activation process that can take place there. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Demons are death and living in death and darkness. But whatever has come out of life is living and alive. Whatever come out of the mouth of the living God is living and alive. There's no death in it. There's no darkness in it. So let's get ourselves filled up with the Spirit and the joy of the Lord. And then let it be poured out of us on others, right? Because we can't just, you know, look at those men with the leprosy, those lepers. They went into the camp and saw that all the soldiers had gone and left all the wealth and riches behind. And they were just grabbing it all up, and then it came upon them, hey, we're not going to just keep this all for ourselves. There's more than enough here. And God always has more than enough, by the way. There's more than enough here. Let's go give some, let's go tell the people in the city. They're starving to death in there. The world is starving to death. They're dying. These people in the city are dying, starving to death. Let's go tell them what we got out here. We got untold riches out here. They just left it all the wealth, their gold, their swords. I mean, they just took off running. And so those lepers, you know, even though they had it all, shared what they had, see? And they went to the city and said, hey, come on out. They're gone. You can have all the food you want, all the water you want, all the stuff you want. It's all here, see? So let's not just keep it to ourselves, right? And let's embed the living word within by spending time getting it in us, right? It takes time to get it in you, but it's worth every bit of it. What else are you doing that's so important anyway? Oh, well, I got to do this. I got to do that. Right? You got time for the word if you make time for the word, though. I don't care how much you're doing. You have time for the word, but you're going to have to make time for it. And you have to do that. If you don't make time for something, you're not going to have any partaking of it. See? So let's let ourselves get filled up with the Spirit and the joy of the Lord, and then let it be poured out of us to others. Okay? See? That's simple. Huh? Receiving the engrafted word daily instead of the religion and the religious demon, we will transmit Spirit and life to others. We will manifest the sweet. People will want the sweet. And that is what the world, the fearful, the disobedient need to be born again, to be transformed by the Spirit of the living God, to have and embrace life instead of death, light instead of darkness, Jesus instead of devil. And people are embracing devils right now by the hordes because they're feeding on fear. See, the devil dumped out fear, and they took it, man. And they're feeding on it. Christians, too, they're afraid. They're fearful. They're feeding on the darkness when they ought to be feeding on the light. Yeah, some people, that's all they do is feed on the darkness all the time. Well, the devil's doing this and you know, all this wicked stuff in the world that's going on. And, oh, there's just no hope left. And, oh, I'm so afraid. I'm very afraid. And, oh, what are we going to do? And how are we going to prepare for this? And, hey, listen. You look at the wrong thing. Oh yeah, you know what's going on, but you don't just revel in it. You revel in Jesus. You're filled with Jesus, and everything's going to work out somehow. And He'll show you what to do when it's time to do it. I mean, He'll prepare you. I mean, the prudent see the evil day approaching, and they prepare. You know? The Lord will prepare you, but not out of fear. It can't be done out of fear. Okay? It has to be done in faith. Everything we do. Because the Bible says if it's not of faith, it's sin. Remember that in Romans where it says that? So I need to look it up and show you. You know that, right? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's what it said. And it says to overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we praise God, need to be filled up. Amen. That's in, if you want to know what that is, it's Romans 14:23. He that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Mm-hmm. So our walk needs to be a faith walk, not a fear walk. Yeah, because fear is not a faith. Yeah, it's a sin. It's a darkness. See, the devil operates by fear, and he tries to control you by fear. And he uses fear through the government. He uses fear through politicians, through all types of ways he uses fear in the world to control people, get them in the condition that he wants them in. So embrace life, light instead of darkness, Jesus instead of the fear. Don't let the enemy silence you. You silence the enemy. The righteous are bold as a lion because the joy of the Lord is their strength, their empowerment, their weapon to stand in the hour when many are not standing, when many will quit standing. The Bible says it. It says there'll be a falling away, but it doesn't have to be you and me. In fact, it's not going to be me. Amen? And I'm, Jesus' name is not going to be you. We will stand, and having done all, like it says in Ephesians, having done all, we stand. Having done all, we continue to resist that darkness and that death and that evil and all the different things that the enemy has tried to do to get people off track, to preoccupy them. See, people are so preoccupied with pornography. They're bound up by it, preoccupied, substituting the lust of their flesh for the word of God, really? Come on. Preoccupied with making money? Preoccupied with getting rich? Substituting money for God? Don't tell me Christians don't have other gods. Well, we've talked about that before. Anyway, I've got to quit now. We're going to go into some deliverance in a moment. But thank you, Jesus, Father, for the anointing. Thank you for releasing in Jesus' name that anointing to rise up out of us, up in us, and we'll walk in the anointing that breaks the yoke in our own life and other people's as well, Father. Thank you for that anointing. Thank you for that we filled up with the Spirit tonight, Father, and we are filled up to overflowing, Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, we are just lifting up and receiving from heaven your presence, your love, your closeness. Lord, you said you called us friends. Lord, you said, I have called you friends. Lord, we're not just somebody out there. We're not just a Social Security number. We're not just a taxpayer. Lord, we're your friends. Hallelujah. And Lord, the Bible says you stick closer than a brother. I mean, that's closer than our own flesh and blood on the earth, Lord. You're closer than them. You're closer than family members. You're closer than any relationship there is, Father, if we allow you to be and we want you to be. And so, Lord, we cry out to you. We call upon the name of the Lord. Fill us tonight. We lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Fill me, Lord. We lift in up holy hands. The Bible tells us to lift up our holy hands. Some people never lift up their hands, and they're disobeying the Word. The Word tells us to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Ah, yes, without wrath and without doubting, it says. We don't want doubt in here. We're lifting up and receiving. We're not doubting that we're receiving. We're without doubting, without anger. We're not lifting up holy hands mad at God or mad at somebody else. We're lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. We're lifting them up in worship. We're lifting up in praise. We're lifting them up to glorify you and to receive your anointing, to receive fresh oil from heaven, to receive a fresh infilling. Oh, Lord, we receive more of you, Lord, more of you. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of all, the Creator of the universe, Father. We worship you, and we're close to you. And, Father, you're in us, even as you are in millions of others at the very same time. But you're in us at the level of our desire, Father. If we desire, you'll come more. If we don't desire, you won't come as much, Lord. You're not going to force your way. But, Lord, we desire you. You're going to come. You're going to fill us to overflowing as much as we want, as much as we can take, Father. We want you. We want you, Lord. And thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that you're close as you. We want you to be, Lord. And we, you know, I want you to be close to me. I want to live intimately with you daily, Father, and to continue that kind of a walk all the days of my life and let it go deeper and deeper, even more than it has been. But all these years, that we have walked together, Lord, and you have showed me your goodness and showed me your glory and filled me with your anointing over and over and over again. And I pray you fill everybody who's hungry tonight too, Lord. Pray you fill them up to overflowing. Let them burst forth with new wine. Let them burst forth with the glory of, and the presence of your spirit and you in them, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. Thank you for the word tonight, Father. Thank you for speaking through me. Thank you for blessing someone tonight. In Jesus' name, many someone. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen, amen. All right, hallelujah. They go on like that all night, but I know that some people want some deliverance. So let me just go ahead and we'll go ahead and take a short intermission here, and then we'll come back and do some deliverance, if that's all right. That's what we'll spend the rest of the time doing tonight, unless the Lord says do something else. All right. Be back in about 3 minutes.
I believe.
Confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, Biden's gonna do that. Can you believe that? Yeah, so is Hillary Clinton. Yeah, they're gonna do it someday. They're gonna have to. Yeah, the devil's gonna do it. Yeah, praise God. Anyway, let's go ahead and do some deliverance here. We come against the religious spirit, inherited religious spirit. Some people just pick it up from the generation, and they pick it up and they manifest it. right away. I mean, you know, they get religious, and very easily throughout their life, they pick, you know, they start operating that religious spirit of bondage. And we command that religious spirit. We break the curse of religious spirits, and we command the spirits of religious spirits to go right now. All those religious spirits, domination by religious spirits, control by religious spirits, you come out right now. Come out. Come out now, all the way out. All the way out. Come out. All the way out. All those religious spirits, go. Go. Come out. 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 All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go. All those religious spirits, you got to go. Got to go right now. Come out of people in the name of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus against you. In Jesus' name, the word says, in my name, you shall cast out devils. The word is full of life, and it's full of the ability to speak it and with faith and see the result. So we speak it in faith. You got to go. Come out. Come out. All those religious spirits, bondage to religious spirits, controlled by religious spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. Speaking under the false, ungodly, dark anointing of religion. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way up out of it. Go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All those preoccupation spirits that keep you preoccupied, whatever their names are, whatever specific subject that the enemy is using there to preoccupy you, we come against that right now in the name of Jesus. Those preoccupation spirits, you go. Come out. Whatever is preoccupying you, keeping you subjected to it, keeping you occupied with it to keep you from going further and deeper in God, all those preoccupations, you come out of there. All those substitutions, too. Come out. Come out. Whatever you substitute, whatever spirit is being substituted for God and seeking God, you come out of there in the name of Jesus. Right now, I bind you. I break your hold. Those preoccupation spirits, go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of those substitutions, too. You come out. Are you TV addicted? Are you addicted to movies? What? Are you addicted to sports or gaming? What's the addiction there? What's the preoccupation? What's the substitution in your life? You come out of there right now. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All that preoccupation and substitution. Come out. Come out. The gaming spirit. Come out. The gaming spirit, just being preoccupied with gaming and always doing those games. And, yeah, just get so into it, it takes up all your time when you could be some of that time reading the Word of God, focusing on God, getting filled up, being refreshed, renewed, rejoicing. Come out of there. Come on, all the way out. Those gaming spirits, go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Those movie spirits, go, 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 all the way out. All the way up out of there. Those recreational, it's not wrong to have recreation, not wrong to have sports and hobby, but it's wrong for them to have you, and it's wrong for them to dominate you. Come out right now. Go. All those spirits that causes you to dominate and preoccupy your life with those sports and with those other things. And I know one guy in a church at one time told me the Lord dealt with him to get rid of his all his sports cards, because he was, you know, that was his life, those sports cards. He had so many and valuable ones, and began selling, getting rid of them and giving some away, whatever. I don't remember all that happened, but that was a long time ago. But still, God dealt with him about that, and he got rid of that stuff because it was just reclaiming his walk with God. It was taking up so much of his time. He didn't have time for God, didn't have time for the Word. Yeah, there are many things that can take the place of God. How many know that the devil has a lot of substitutions out there and a lot of preoccupations? We rebuke them. We rebuke them right now, those spirits that do that in people's lives right now. Some of it could be just, you know, having social life. Social life can take the place of a private life with Jesus. You know, I value my private time with the Lord more than I value any other time, and I love being with people. I love being with the people of the church and love spending time with them and stuff, but my most valuable time is the time I spend alone with you, with the Lord, with Jesus. And that's the most, I mean, if you're not having time like that, then you're missing out. You're preoccupied. You've got a substitute there. So we just come against those spirits that keep you just social life, making even an idol out of social life and being with other people, or all the time. We come out against that. You come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. All the way out. That social spirit. Come out. Come out. Putting people before God. Come out. Come out. Putting your social life before your God life. You're spending time with Him. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Go in Jesus' name. All that legalism too. Come out. Legalism. Come out of it. Go. 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 Out. 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 All that legalism, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Keep going. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go. Out, out, out. Up and out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Keep going. Keep going. Up out of there. Come out of there. Control, control. We break the control of the enemy over your life. We break that control where he's had control at through the preoccupation with something that he's controlling you with. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Maybe it's with sports or, you know, maybe you like sporting goods and that's your life more so than God. You come out of there. You have no other God before the Lord. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out of there. Keep coming out, all the way out in Jesus' name. We bind you. We break your hold. We break those generational spirits that you were born with that keep plaguing your life. We break those generational curses, those bloodline spirits, those family line spirits that came and has harassed you, troubled you since you were a child. We come against those spirits now. You come out of there, whether it's a curse of anger, curse of lust, curse of religion, curse of gossip or some other greedy spirit type curse. You go right now. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the lustful spirit, generational lust. Come out. Come out. All the generational greed. Come out. Come out. We break the curse over you. We break the inherited curses. We cancel the assignment of these demons over your life in Jesus' name. And we say, enough, devil. This ends now in Jesus' name. That lust, that curse, you have to go. We cancel it over you. You can now get the victory. It has to come out all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Take a deep breath. Cough it out. Let it go all the way. Yawn, however. Just let them go all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All those spirits that try to make you a certain way, to keep you in bondage, keep you in unforgiveness, keep you in anger, come out. We break those curses over you right now, those anger spirits, angry at someone, holding unforgiveness towards someone. You come out. You come out. You come out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out of there. Go, 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 go. All those spirits that try to make you a soul copy of one of your relatives in the past, you come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out. The blood is against you, demons. The blood is against you, demons, right now. Out, 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 out of there, all the way out. All the way out. We cancel those spirits and command them to go. In Jesus' name, cancel their assignments, I mean, of being, forcing you into a soul copy of your grandma, or your grandpa, or your great-grandma, or your great-grandma, or your mother, or your father. Come out in Jesus' name to keep you in the same bondage they had. We cancel that assignment of darkness over you. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out. You're repeating what they did, repeating who, what they were and how they did people or did things that are not in alignment with the Word of God. You have to go. Come out, 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 all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go. Come out, come out. Those night spirits that come in the night give you sexual dreams, dreams of fear or dreams of the future or dark dreams of darkness. We break the power of those spirits that are coming in the night in your dreams to harass you, trouble you, or
or cause you to go into lust or uncleanness. We command them to go right now. Incubus, succubus, night spirits, spirit wife, spirit husband, marine spirits, go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out. Out, 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 all the way out. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out, all the way out. All those night spirits, go up out of them. Come on, move, 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 move in Jesus' name. Go up and out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Night spirits, sexual spirits, uncleanness, nighttime uncleanness. You go, go, all those unclean spirits, go. Come out, all those terror by night spirits, go. Come out right now, go, in the name of Jesus, that terrorize you in your dream with nightmares or strange dreams that may not make any sense, but they're just torture, torment. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break the hold of demons over your dream life right now and command them to go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Go all the way out. You may have to enter into warfare in your dreams too, you know. It's just not when you're awake. I've done warfare in dream world too, you know. And it's necessary. You can just begin to take over in those dreams and start commanding those spirits to go and to stop it right now. And they have to. They have to obey if you go in your authority and you believe your authority. Amen. So you have to be bold with them. And tell them, you're not going to do this to me. You're not going to give me this kind of dream. You're not going to harass me this way. You're not going to control me this way. You're not going to manipulate me in that area. In Jesus' name. Because a lot of people are manipulated in the night season. And it's done by demons, and they go out and do that. And some of them are in you. Some of them are out of you. But nevertheless, you don't want them, whether they're in or out, you don't want them. And you don't want them allowed to do that. You got to put a stop to it. Take authority over it. In Jesus' name, amen. Your authority goes there too. Amen. Keep coming out of there all the way. Astrology, horoscope, go all the way out. Reading the horoscope, reading the astrology stuff. Come out, come out. Fascination spirit, fascination with those things. The occult, fascination with the occult, fascination with unclean things, fascination with witchcraft and astrology and New Age. Come out. Come out of there. Come out. 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 All the way out. All that fascination, that ungodly fascination, that unclean fascination. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You have to go all the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name right now. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them and let them go. Come out of there. All the way out. We're talking to you, demon. You have to obey. You have to obey. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. You're defeated by the blood of Jesus. Keep going all the way out. All that familiar spirit, that family spirit, you come out. Come on, all the way out. That family domination spirit, we break your domination. We break your control. You come out right now and harass them no more. No more in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out right now in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out in Jesus' name. All that familiar spirit, go. All those seducing spirits, come out. Come on, the seducing spirit, seducing spirit. Yeah, there's many ways these spirits of seduction operate. They will seduce you with spiritual stuff, but it will be inaccurate. See? Seducing through false prophecy, seducing through sexual sin, seducing through lies and deception. You come out of there. Go, go, come out, come out, come out. All those seducing spirits have to go right now. Come out of there. Up out of there, seducing you with truth, with lies about yourself. And people believe wrong things about the way they are, the way they appear and different things because they've been seduced by spirit to believe that. But you don't need to believe that, see, because it's inaccurate.
But you don't know that because you've been seduced by a seducing spirit. That's right. So command that seducing and the veil to come off your eyes in Jesus' name. All that seducing spirit, come out. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. All the unbelief come out, all the unbelief that blocks you from going on with God and deeper with God and closer to God. The unbelief, you come out. Unbelief, go, 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 go. All unbelief, all that unworthiness, too, you go. You block people, too. That unbelief and that unworthiness, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. All that unworthiness, come out, tells you you're unworthy to have an intimate relationship with God, unworthy. Well, the blood makes you worthy. It's not anything you can do to make yourself worthy. Just believe what Jesus did. Believe the grace that he given you. My grace is sufficient. That's right. So when you're weak in yourself and your ability to do things, then you're really strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And listen, you're blessed then, because my grace is sufficient. Everything you need is in the grace of God. His grace is sufficient. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. I bind you. Come out, you lying demon. Come out in the name of Jesus. We break your hold. We break your lie. Break your control right now. All the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name. Go. Go, go, keep going, up and out, in Jesus' name, have to go. Father, we thank you for our deliverance time tonight. Father, seal the deliverance. Thank you, Lord, that the deliverance has taken place. Father, we thank you that people have got some deliverance, and Father, we thank you that they will walk in their freedom and keep what they got and continue to get more. In Jesus' name, bless every person tonight that has heard the program and that will hear it in the future days ahead as well. In Jesus' name, we praise you, worship you, and honor you, and glorify your name. Amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate each one of you listening tonight. Thank you. Good to see those of you in the chat room tonight. God bless you as well, and those that are listening by phone. I see your numbers up there. Appreciate you listening. Thank you. God bless you, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday and that you're enjoying your weekend. This holiday-type weekend, or what? I mean, it's not a holy day, but, you know, that's kind of what holiday means. But, yeah, just enjoy your weekend in God and be filled with him. And thanks for being here. And those of you who support the program, thanks for supporting the program. We and appreciate each of you who pray for us as well. Thank you for supporting us with your prayers as well as your finances. And we appreciate all that. It all means a lot to us. I want to let you know that. And we're thankful for you, and we give God thanks for you folks. Even though I've not met most of you, but still, hey, we thank God for you. And you're precious to him, and more precious to him than you are to us, but you are precious to us, too. We're just human. We can only give so much, but he gives you a perfect preciousness. You are so precious to God, and he will keep you forever. Amen. All right, well, we will see you back next week, same time. God bless you, Chubby. Bye.
Nothing is my own, it all belongs. out to you. I want to tell you how much you mean to me. I lay down my life and worship you forever. I am yours from the beginning. I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours forever. I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours from the beginning. I am yours. Your name, help me to believe, help me to obey, and I will follow you. I want to bring glory to you, Lord. We'll glorify your name, help me to believe, help me to obey, and I will follow you. I will follow. Lord, I am the work of your hands. I was not and now I am. Alive, living and breathing. You spoke and gave me life. You searched the depths of my soul. There is nothing you me for who I am. My whole life is in your plan. I am yours from the beginning. I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours forever. I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours from the beginning.
Amen. I am yours, Lord. And you are his too. Isn't that a wonderful and awesome thing to be aware of? Just the absolute awareness that you are his right now and will always be his throughout eternity. Wow. We are so blessed. Knowledge, the knowledge that God gives us through the Holy Spirit is an awesome gift, isn't it? Well, thank you, and we will see you back next week. Lord bless you and be with you. Bye-bye now, and good night.